Let's read tonight Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll begin our reading at verse 10. The text for the sermon is verse 30 of Proverbs 31. This is the holy and inspired word of God to us tonight. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So far we read the Word of God. I call your attention tonight to verse 30 of Proverbs 31, where we read, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the text for our sermon this evening comes from the well-known concluding part of the book of Proverbs, the section in the book of Proverbs that covers what we refer to as the virtuous woman. The section begins with the verse that we started reading tonight in verse 10 with the question, who can find a virtuous woman? That well-known question to us with the immediate words thereafter that we know very well, for her price is far above rubies. In Proverbs chapter 31, the virtuous woman is described as a married woman. And that goes hand in hand with, I believe, the question that begins the section, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find this woman? Thinking in terms of a young man for a spouse to be married. The Word of God tonight, therefore, speaks specifically to two groups in the congregation, although it is certainly true that the main ideas of the text speak to all of us. But in the first place, it speaks very specifically, obviously, to the women of the congregation and to the young women in particular of the congregation. Proverbs 31 describes the virtuous woman. This is the woman you, women, you young women, you Hannah who made confession of faith tonight, must strive to be, looking to God and trusting in God to be this woman, virtuous woman, described in Proverbs 31. But the Word of God also speaks tonight to the young men of the congregation and really to all of the men, and particularly the men who are married. What is it that we look for as we think about being married if we are unmarried? Or what is it that we look for in the wife that God has given to us and therefore are an encouragement for her to walk to this end? It's the woman described in Proverbs 31 as the virtuous woman. And now to make this more specific to our text in particular, what we see tonight is that what matters most, whether we are women looking at the text in light of that or men thinking about marriage, what matters most is the woman who fears the Lord. And in our text, that's put in contrast to outward beauty. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, that's what's most important. She shall be praised. And so we use as our theme tonight the beautiful Christian woman. I use the language of beauty. As we find it in the text, it's used negatively to refer to what is not important, outward beauty. But from that, we can see what is true beauty for women in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the description, according to this text, of the truly beautiful Christian woman. She fears the Lord. That number one. She's not deceived by outward beauty, that number two. And what flows from that is the third part of the text. She shall be praised. The beautiful Christian woman. She fears the Lord. She's not deceived by outward beauty. And she shall be praised. I want to begin on a positive note in the sermon this evening. And beginning on a positive note means that we look at that main idea expressed in the text of a woman's fear of the Lord. And one of the reasons I begin on this positive note is that this strikes really at the heart and center, not just of our text, but the heart and center of the book of Proverbs as a whole. It's striking that with respect to the book of Proverbs as a whole, it is bookended by the language of the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1, we have the introduction to the book in the opening six verses. And then the first main word in the book of Proverbs is verse 7, which is this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right at the beginning of the book, the concept that we are drawn to consider is the fear of the Lord. And then the book ends with the virtuous woman. And right at the end of the explanation of the virtuous woman, the summary is this: the woman who is praised is the woman who fears the Lord. Beloved, there's a few things more positively that could be said about someone than this: she fears the Lord. He, to broaden it out, is a God-fearer. That's one of the most positive things that could be said about somebody in the church, that when their lives are observed, when one spends time with another person, they look at that person, they look at that young man, they look at that young woman per our text tonight, and they say with respect to her, "This I know about her. She fears the Lord." That's what we say tonight with respect to Hannah, who confessed her faith this evening. One who stands before the church and answers the three questions that were posed to her, with behind that the questions that are posed to her in the consistory room. One of the things that you can say in response to that is this: what she confessed this evening and what we believe her life demonstrates in harmony with that confession is exactly the language of this text. She fears God. No greater word can be said about someone than that word. And so we have to put some substance to that. This is a broad, far-reaching concept in the Scriptures. But let's delve into what it means to be a God-fearer. To fear the Lord, in its most basic sense, means that we stand in reverential awe of who God is. When we read of the language of fear in the Scripture, it's not the fear of being afraid of someone. It's not the terrifying fear of seeing someone with guns in their hand with the intent to kill you, and when you see that person, all you do is tremble in terrifying fear. That is not the idea of the fear of God as it's explained in the book of Proverbs and in all of God's words. To fear God is to stand before God with a reverential, worshipful awe. It is to stand before the glory of God and say, "God is God, and God is beautiful, and God is amazing, and God is the God of all things, and the God of all attributes, and the God who I stand before and worship." To fear God is to stand in awe of Him for the God whom He is. And so we're immediately faced with that question: what is my attitude? What is my viewpoint as I set my heart and set my mind upon who God is? And this goes hand in hand with the sermon that we heard this morning. It's simply another way to express what was the main idea of the sermon this morning, which was filled with the Spirit, observing what God does. What we do is we speak of the wonderful works of God. That is a standing in awe of God and His works. And as it is in that passage, speaking those wonderful works. But that's the most basic element of what it means to fear the Lord God who reigns and rules overall. And all of the things that we're going to say after that with the remaining three points feed into this first main idea. Because we go on in the second point to say that with respect to the fear of God, it means that you know God. And arising out of that knowledge of God is this reverential awe of God. You see how they have to go together. For the first point to be true, and for us to grow in that first point, we need to know, and we need to know better and better the God whom we stand in awe of. And that's why in the book of Proverbs, so often what are brought together is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. Let me demonstrate that with just a couple of verses from the beginning of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 verse 7, which I read already. I'll read it again. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs 1 verse 29. Speaking of it negatively, "For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, That's the negative statement of the same idea. Those who reject knowledge, the knowledge of God, by virtue of doing that, are rebelling against this idea of fearing God, because knowledge and fear go hand in hand. One more example, Proverbs 2, verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The God-fearer knows God. Knows God as He is revealed in the creation, which does reveal the beauty and the majesty and the power of God, but more fully knows God as He is revealed in the sacred scriptures and in the truth which we confess as a church. Embedded into the question of confession of faith concerning confessing the doctrine contained in this Christian church is not just a matter of the mind, but that's a matter of the fear of God. Because as I know the doctrine of the church as it is confessed here, it is a doctrine that leads me to know the God whose doctrine it is, the God which doctrine it explains, to the end that I am more and more standing in awe of that great God whom I serve. A God-fearer does not have the knowledge of God as a sideline in their life, a one-day-a-week activity in their life, but a God-fearer has front and center in the whole of their life the knowledge of God, so that every week, the week starts here. Twice on the Lord's Day, to fellowship with God and worship and to know God better as He is revealed in the preaching of the gospel. And during the week, not a day goes by in which we don't set our mind and set our hearts upon the God whom we fear. In the third place, to be a God-fearer is to have an understanding and knowledge of ourselves. You see, when you stand in reverential awe of the triune God, you cannot do that properly without having a firm grasp of who we are. As you stand before the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of Almighty God, how is it possible that we stand before that God knowing who we are as guilty and damn worthy sinners? And so I use this point with respect to the knowledge of self to say this, that the fear of God involves the right knowledge of ourselves and the knowledge of ourselves as those who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Think of Adam in the Garden of Eden after he fell into sin. And after he fell into sin, God finds Adam, speaks to Adam, and Adam responds, I'm afraid because of my nakedness and my shame. How is it possible that we stand before God with this reverential awe and without the fear of judgment and the fear of terror because we know ourselves as guilty, damn worthy sinners? It's because as we stand in reverential awe of God and His holiness and His righteousness and His justice, we do so clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. To fear God is to know God personally, and to know God personally as the God of our salvation through the perfect work of Jesus Christ. so that we don't stand before Him as Adam stood before Him, naked and shameful in his sin, but we stand before Him clothed with the white robes of Christ. And as I said earlier in the sermon, it all feeds that first main point. In this point right now, knowledge of self, not as I am in my sin, but knowledge of self as clothed in Christ's righteousness, adds all the more to the awe and the worship and the glory that we ascribe to the God of our salvation. And out of that, the fear of God involves, in the fourth place, the service of God and walking in thankful obedience before the face of God. The book of Proverbs, and we can use Ecclesiastes as an example here, tie together very closely the fear of God and the keeping of God's commandments. The end of Ecclesiastes. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. When you stand in awe of that God, knowing that God, knowing yourself clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the fruit of that is we go forward, wanting to serve Him obediently and thankfully. And is that not Proverbs chapter 31? Proverbs chapter 31, in the description of the virtuous woman, is a description of a woman who does not live for self, but lives for God by living for her family and her husband, whom she is called to serve. That's the God-fearer. Serving God and serving God by selflessly, humbly giving for the good of those around us in our lives. That's what made her the beautiful woman she was. Beloved, that's the description briefly of the beautiful Christian woman. It's the woman that knows God, stands in awe of God, knows Him as Father in Jesus Christ, and strives out of thankfulness to live for Him in the service of others. That fear of the Lord in our text is contrasted with outward beauty. The first part of the text says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord. So the specific contrast in the text is between, on the one hand, the fear of Jehovah, and on the other hand, favor and beauty. The word favor in the text is the root word that is often translated grace. It's a synonym of beauty, both referring to outward beauty. Outward beauty is deceitful and outward beauty is vain. But the contrast, a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is an incredibly important subject to consider from the Word of God tonight. The subject of the vanity and deceitfulness of outward beauty. It's an incredibly important subject to consider for women and young women in the congregation, and for men and young men in the congregation too. And that is because at its root, our sinful nature, but that coupled with the age in which we live and the culture in which we live, which places so much attention and focus on outward beauty. We all know that to be true in the culture and day in which we live. Big, big, big business all depended upon the whole realm of outward beauty. Advertisements after advertisements are being shoveled into the faces of young people today, and particularly young women today, concerning appearance and beauty and fashion. It's inescapable. Added to that, the presence of social media and how that affects how we think about outward appearance in comparison and contrast to other people. This is an incredibly important subject that we need to face head on as Christians, and we need to face head on with our youth, and we need to think very deeply in a self-examining way concerning the place of outward beauty in our thoughts and in our minds. And so we do have to face the question. Women have to face the question. Young women, teenagers have to face the question, how much emphasis am I placing on outward beauty? What I look like? Is this controlling me in my life? And do not mistake what I'm saying tonight. There is a proper place to consider outward appearance. There's a proper place to consider looking respectable in the eyes of other people. There's a proper care of the body that we must be engaged in as believers. But if the reason that we're concerned about what we eat and why we exercise is driven by what others see rather than driven by, I have a body given to me by God which I am called to be a good steward of, and therefore I watch what I eat, and therefore I exercise, so that with this vessel I can serve my family and serve God to a greater degree and faithfulness, then we're doing it for the right reasons. But if it's over here, I'm watching what I'm eating and I'm exercising simply because I want to look a certain way in the eyes of others, that's not God glorifying. There's a place for the care of our body. But we need to examine ourselves as to what this really means to us and how it impacts our lives. Young men, high school aged young men, what are you looking for in a woman to date? What's qualification number one? And why you are pursuing this particular person to date? It may not be. It must not be. She's beautiful. And because of the way she looks, I want to date her. I'm not denying the reality of physical attraction between spouses. But that's not qualification number one. Examine your heart, young men. What is it that you are looking for in a woman or a young woman to date and one day to marry? And if your answer to that is, yeah, if I really ask myself honestly, it's qualification number one, what she looks like, then you need to examine your heart very carefully, what's important to you. And then the whole discussion of the fear of the Lord isn't applied to women in particular, but to your heart. What's important to you as a young man, as you stand before the Lord and are called to serve the Lord. But then for the women of the church, you can ask very practical questions to get a gauge of where you are at in this. Very practical question. How long do you spend in front of a mirror? If this is consuming massive amounts of time in your life, that's worthy of examination of your heart. When you're with people in a public setting, what's going through your mind all the time? Is it what she's wearing? How she looks? Are you able to go out into public without being just right with how you look? Time spent on devices, how much of it is driven towards all things outward beauty, whether it's clothes or makeup or hairstyles or comparing to other people. Those are all very basic, practical questions that the Lord and the Spirit use to open up our hearts and to say, my focus is not in the right place. Because in the end, the question is, what is important? Is it important to be outwardly beautiful in the eyes of men or for your own sake? Or is this important, the fear of God? Because understand, there is a contrast here between outward beauty and the fear of Jehovah. And when one is driven by outward beauty, it is antithetical to the entirety of the first point of the sermon, which is the fear of the Lord. What is going on when one is controlled by outward beauty? What's going on there is it's a fear of man or it's a fear of self. What's driving how much time I spend in front of the mirror? Why I won't go out in public unless I think just right? Why I spend so much time looking at these things on the internet is I'm concerned about what they think about me. That's the controlling factor, a fear of man. Or it's a fear of self, the exaltation of self, the proud sense of saying, life is about me. And when I go out into public, I want people to think a certain way about me. And both of those, fear of others, fear of self, are antithetical to the fear of the Lord. And so I say again, what's most important? As I stand in front of the mirror, as I put the clothes on that I wear, as I exercise, as I eat healthy foods, what is driving what I am doing? And let it be the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, which means this is what's most important to me. Not my standing before other people, but I stand in awe of God. This is what's most important to me. Not that I know what other people think about me, but that I know God. This is what's most important to me. Not that I am clothed in the most recent of fashions, but that I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is what's most important to me. Not that I'm going to be driven by what I do and by what I say and how I think about this subject by others, but I'm going to be driven by the service of the Lord. Fear of others or self versus the fear of God. And may the Word tonight convict us and encourage us. Convict us of where we need to bring the sins of being controlled by outward beauty to the cross and say, Lord, forgive. And knowing that forgiveness, say, Lord, help me not to be under the bondage of outward beauty, but to know the freedom that comes in Christ alone, the freedom that says, this is my beauty. Christ. And as I am in Christ, I go forth serving Him for what He has done for me. Because in the end, as our text says, outward beauty is but deceitful and vain. There's a lot that could be said about that. Let me narrow it down to just this one main idea. Outward beauty is deceitful. It never gives what it promises to give. It promises something. Look a certain way, have the right clothes, present yourself before people in just the right way. That has all sorts of promises connected to it. And the promises often connected to it is, then you'll be happy. Then you'll have joy. Then you'll be at peace. Then you will be content. If you go forth and you live looking a certain way in the eyes of others, It promises all of that, but it's utterly deceitful. Because true joy, true peace, true happiness will never be found in what you look like outwardly. Because not only is it deceitful, but it's also vain. It's vanity. It's futile. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. So that, yes, when you're 17, you may have a sense of confidence that comes from how you look as you are going in front of others. But what happens when you're 71? Because it's all going to go away. The tight skin, the toned features, the no excess weight. It's all going to go away. Because in the end, this vessel that we have is going right back to the dust of this earth. And so when we're 17 and we say, this is where I find my joy, my peace. This is why I can press on because I look a certain way in the eyes of others. Know that it's only going to last for a moment. This is what you need. And this is what Hannah confessed tonight. This is what's important to her. This is what gives joy, peace, and happiness in this life and in the life to come. I fear God. It doesn't matter if I'm 17 and on top of my game when it comes to how I look. Or when I get some sort of disease which requires medication and all of a sudden because of the medication I can't control how I look anymore. And things happen, you're able to say in the midst of that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because this isn't what it's all about. This vessel is going to the grave. One day, it'll be perfect in the resurrected body, but this one right here, it's all going to the grave. But yet, I have everything I need. Because the center of my life is the fear of God. It doesn't matter if we're 17 or 71. We have everything we need when that is the confession and the life that we live. She, the text says, shall be praised. The woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is what makes the commendation that she should have. The fact that she is God-fearing. And beloved, this third point of the sermon is very important to us in light of how things work so often in our own circles and in our own lives. Think about the question, what is it that we praise? What is it that we commend? In terms of each other, in terms of our children, in terms of young people, and on social media, for example. How much of it is a commendation, a praising of outward beauty and appearance? And I believe it's a huge amount of the commendation and the praise that we give to each other as Christians in the church. Think about children, young children. What do we say about the little kids that we have and that we see? Oh, they're so cute. Oh, she's so pretty. She's beautiful. And I'm not saying that we can't ever tell our children that they're beautiful. Or we can't refer to our babies as being cute. We can. But this is true too. That if from the moment that they're 1 to 3 to 7 to 9 to 11, the focus has always been commendation regarding outward appearance, don't be surprised that when she's 13, what matters most to her and what she's setting her mind upon and what's controlling her in her thoughts and in her life is how she looks. That's what she's heard. This is what they always say. When you go on social media and all the pictures are posted of families and of individuals and all the comments on the side are relative to outward beauty, the mind is being shaped to say one thing about outward beauty, not to mention the world in which we live, which just bolsters that idea. This is what's important. My outward appearance. And to that, as the church, we need to say, no. No. The woman that is praised is the woman that fears the Lord. Not a praise for who she is of herself, but a praise for who she is as the object of God's saving love and for her beauty that is in Jesus Christ. Beloved, let this be what we praise. And here we have an example of it tonight. This is what makes us excited and what is taken on our lips tonight with respect to the young woman who made confession of faith. But let not this be the isolated example when the majority is something radically different. But let the majority be the commendation and praise of the work of God in our young women and in all of us, the work of God, such that we live lives fearing God. Husbands, praise your wives. Tell them they're outwardly beautiful, because they are to you and they must be to you. And that's part of it. But tell them this: you are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me, because when I see you, I see Christ. When I see you in our home, teaching my children, our children, the Word of God, praying with them, guiding them, instructing them, being a good example to them, leading them to God and Jesus Christ. When I see you doing that, you are the most beautiful woman in all of the world to me in that moment. And I love you. And I love you so much because of that beauty. That beauty, which is not your own beauty. Your own beauty is you're a sinner, which is no beauty at all. But it's your beauty that is in Jesus Christ alone. Your fear of God as it comes through in the service of this, our family. Husbands, do that to your wives. Parents, do this with our children. That by our commendation and praise, we make clear what is most important. We make clear that this is what matters. The beauty that is found in Christ alone. The beauty that is revealed in the fear of God. And standing in awe of Him. And knowing Him. Loving Him for Christ's sake. And selflessly, humbly, serving Him by serving one another. That woman is to be praised. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we're thankful for this word, and we pray that it might have penetrated into our hearts so that we are refocused on the things that matter. And what matters is not first and foremost outward beauty. We know that. But yet we know how strong a temptation that can be. And so we pray, keep us from that and work in us a godly fear and a selfless service. And may that be that which drives us in our lives here below. We're thankful again for the confession we heard, and may this word have been an encouragement to her in particular as we go forward this evening. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.